Ciao! Here is a conversation with Jean-Marc Mercier. Jean-Marc is the research advisor at MPG Partners. He works on machine learning, both kernel methods and deep learning, and on their application in mathematical finance. First, we talked about the differences between kernel methods and deep learning, and related to that, some history of machine learning in general, the history of kernel methods, the history of neural networks, etc. Then I ask how he sees the application of orthogonal polynomials, deep learning, and how they are linked by the general framework of kernel methods, with a digression in kernel principal component analysis, used in aerospace, which is my field, but also in optimal transport tools in general. Talking about finance, I ask his vision in AI algorithmic trading, and in general more about quantitative finance and where AI can play a role here. Then we move on modeling approach and assumptions about stochastic modeling of the observable that brought us to economic bubble formation. I reserved quite a lot of time to talk about CodePy, an open source Python library for machine learning, mathematical finance, and statistics, of which Jean-Marc is one of the authors. So we talked a lot about kernel methods again, relation between stochastic differential equations and partial differential equations via the Feynman-Kac formula, its relation with the Fokker-Planck equation, and the relation between the Kolmogorov backward equation and the Black-Scholes equation in finance. We ended up speaking about CodePy more in detail, and we discussed the power of functional representation, mesh-free methods, and their applicability in fluid dynamics. That's it. I hope you enjoy it. You can connect with me, as always, on Twitter and LinkedIn, and support us on Patreon with a monthly membership. And if you want to stay up to date with this podcast, I suggest you to follow our page on LinkedIn and Instagram, and subscribe, of course, to the YouTube channel. All the links, as always, in the description and in the link tree you find in the description. Okay, thank you very much for joining this conversation. I discovered your work looking into the relation and the differences between kernel methods and deep learning. You were having a discussion on LinkedIn, a really well thought discussion. I was happy to see that LinkedIn sometimes it's used in a rigorous way, let's say. And this was a discussion with Bouchot about the differences between deep learning and kernel methods. And so it's not really a question, it's a comment. As I told you before, the story I lived was the story I was told was computer science made progress. We went from easy models to support vector machines in the 90s, something like this, and then deep learning, neural networks in late 2000s, early 2010. And so
I don't think that been told the same stories than yours. So I have a slightly different feelings, right? Because for me, deep learning methods come back to perceptron. Yeah. They come back to it's a post-war method. Right. I think that the first experiment was in maybe a 43, 45 with the first neural networks.
Okay.
So it was, during the war. And,
okay. But let me say maybe this point is crucial in my in the story I had in my mind like last year, is that support vector machine and kernel methods were needed to then reach the goals that deep learning satisfied, as if now there's not any more room for kernel methods. And this assumption in my mind made me make some choices during my research, which jumped straight to deep learning without considering kernels. And now I'm rediscovering it. So I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think there's a bias towards complicated models, as if you can assume the model to do everything. And there's a discontinuity. I don't know, maybe this could also lead us to talk about the singularity in general artificial intelligence, but I feel the faith in the discontinuity makes us do bad research. So the question is, what do you think of all this?
Well, we could talk a little bit more about history of deep learning. As I told you, deep learning is quite ancient technology, as are kernels. Kernel methods are a little bit more ancient. Come back to Hilbert and uh-huh. Yeah. The beginning, late 19th centuries to me. But my perception is that both kernel methods and deep learning or neural networks evolved separately during when I studied numerical analysis, both schools did not communicate a lot. Right. There always been some kind of separation line between both approaches, like kernel methods and neural networks. But it appears to my mind that both methods are exactly the same one. So mm-hmm. I mean that you have a very natural interpretation of neural networks in terms of kernel methods. Mm-hmm. So you can describe, indeed, to me, deep learning is a kernel method.
Okay.
There is absolutely no difference between them, both of them in terms of machine learning purposes, try to highlight dimensionality reduction arguments to propose some kind of what people think like abstraction of understanding phenomena that are just captured by function. Just a function is a general purpose mathematical object, that, and you can describe the whole physics with function. And all these methods are focused only, to me, on their ability to capture function. So for me, all these methods are basical tools of functional analysis. Mm-hmm. So and there are absolutely no difference between between a deep learning method and a kernel method. For instance, when you talk about activation method, activation function, okay, they are called kernels.
Okay.
It's exactly the same thing. If you speak about multi-layer, there is a it means for a kernel just a map. So it means that, for instance, we have a library, a kernel library, but we can work as well with a deep learning approach or kernel one, just the same thing. There are no real differences to my mind between both methods. So, but what is very surprising is that what you quote just before is that after maybe a decade, people decided that neural networks are efficient method and capable of abstraction, and they will replace kernel methods. But to my mind, it's not the case for my purposes. It's the contrary that is correct. So I can't use for my numerical simulation needs neural networks.
Because of their computational cost?
Because of their computational cost and some other drawback that are, for instance, error measurement. There are also difficulties for me to link from deep learning methods to other mathematical tools that I need, like differential operators or optimal transport tools. all these facets of numerical simulation are not available straight on directly from software like TensorFlow, Theano, and I just can't use this method for my purposes. And my purposes are indeed even in finance, my purposes are the same than the one of machine learning. So I'm tackling all the problem of artificial intelligence with kernel methods, but I can't use neural networks. So for me, it's a little bit a dead end for neural networks, for my professional use, at least.
Yeah, indeed. Let me also push out another experience I had, thanks to you, which was before encountering your works, I had this two parallel line of thinking, which were, one, the application of orthogonal polynomials, which I'm not sure if were developed together with kernels, but Wiener is from the early 20th century, I think. But yeah, irrespective of this, I was using orthogonal polynomials and deep learning in parallel, not thinking then once I learned what a kernel is, they are the same thing. Basically, orthogonal polynomials are just a specific feature map associated to specific kernels. Yes. But they are a subset of kernel methods in which the feature map is orthogonal, but okay. And that was also really useful. And also what I was saying at the beginning was that we moved from the application of autoencoders for aerospace applications to kernel PCA, principal component analysis, and we got much more efficient codes, much better reconstruction error, and much more what you were saying before, I guess, which relates to uncertainty quantification, much better ability to associate the modes of the kernel PCA to something physical, while autoencoders gave us weird behaviors in time. So maybe could
we? I think that it's particularly true for autoencoders because you have really clear, let's say, construction of autoencoders that can translate very easily in terms of kernel methods. And I think, and to be honest, we are testing also from our side with kernel methods, autoencoders, and I think that the background and the framework of autoencoder is quite efficiently handled by kernel methods. I also have this impression.
Right, and could we dig into why you're interested in doing optimal transport and you said something like uncertainty quantification. Maybe you said it in a different language, but can you say what's relevant in your field?
You mean what are the application of optimal
exactly.
transport?
Yeah.
So my field of research is financial mathematics from some years from now. And when you deal with financial mathematics, the notion of optimal transport is very natural tools because you have in particular if you think quantification of stochastic variables. Let's say for instance if you draw two distribution from one stochastic process at two time t1 and t2, then this notion of optimal transport tool allow you to induce a lot of information based on the whole labelization of one distribution with respect to the other using optimal transport. This allow us to let's say to quantify the distribution using this kind of tools.
Yes.
And so they are very, very natural for in particular if we consider conditional probability computation or from
Okay.
For such algorithm, they are required.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's not. To my knowledge, it's not possible to have a convergent method for stochastic for estimating conditional probabilities without using optimal transport tools.
Okay, and this is applied. So again, maybe making it even more applicable in the language, it's about portfolio optimization and risk management. Or
yes,
not only.
It can occur in this situation. Let's say, for instance, that you observe a random a market variable like a price or whatever you and if you want to compute conditional probabilities of jumping from one state to another, just observing a random variable, then you need these tools. And this tool, I don't know how to build to the interpretation of how to construct this tool is not very natural with deep learning methods.
Right.
More specifically, I don't know how to build this tool with.
Right. And is there some limitation in using kernel methods here that deep learning could solve if it were possible to find a way of formalizing optimal control with deep learning, or it's because kernels are?
No, it's not really. I don't think there is any limitation of using optimal transport tools, but with deep learning, I think it's possible. And I know how to do it, but the point is that I don't have any library, tier library, that allow me to compute the of distance that is that I need for optimal transfer tools.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how to build this distance, but I don't know any soft that do it. So I could code it myself. But up to now, I don't need to use this method and to put a lot of effort to mm-hmm. to build this tool for neural network. But I could do it if I thought it could be a good idea to
mm-hmm.
to explore this way. Up to now, I don't need it.
Right.
So as I told you, I think that deep learning and neural networks are kernel methods. So all the methods that I used as kernel, I can use them with deep learning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it because I don't think it's very efficient.
Right. And is this also, I had a question about whether you think kernel methods, there's a lot of hype in the use of AI for algorithmic trading, so for quantitative finance in general. And but I feel no one, again, it's a rough feeling, but people are talking about these complex models with recurrent neural network and complex system, complex models. Do you think there's room for kernel methods in algorithmic trading?
Oh, I think that there are a lot of room in algorithmic trading because you are talking about recurrent network and all that stuff like GAN
mm-hmm.
that are widely used for algorithmic trading today just to simulate the underlyings and this method and we can go back to what I said just 5 minutes before with kernel we can build methods that not only can simulate, but we can show that it converges
mm-hmm.
to the right distribution. And we do it with optimal transport tools.
Mm-hmm.
It, and if we benchmark our tools with neural networks ones, the ones that are used, well, neural network approach, to my knowledge, is not convergent to re-simulate and to draw, to re-simulate a distribution from historical observation. And so I think that that it's more than relevant to use Kernan method in this context. And indeed, we are doing it.
So the application, I mean, you're looking in which kind of financial applications are you working on, let's say, on a daily basis?
So the kind of application can be this one. It means all the applications that are, that range from observing historical data market, then once you learned with Kernan methods some market observations, and you can not only resample, but you can project it in the future and have a first model of diffusion. And this model of diffusion is consistent with more classical process, stochastic processes as log normal or Eston, and so it means that we can diffuse in the future the underlying, and we have also the tools to go backward using this sampling. It means that we can evaluate any trading strategy. And so it's very, it can be very valuable. Not on, I'm not thinking specifically about algorithmic trading, but this is very valuable for banks because it's not only algorithmic trading that is interesting. You can also have, conduct a risk management analysis of your portfolio.
Right.
So there are a whole universe and constellation of application starting from and it's very interesting for a lot of market participants.
And one question about the stochastic modeling of the observable you're dealing with. You mentioned something like a Markov chain before, and now you mentioned some model. So I wanted to ask you, what's the general, not necessarily the general, but which are the levels of assumptions you do on your models? Like, do you say sometimes I'm dealing with a stochastic differential equation? How do you treat fat tails and color noise? Do you consider stochastic differential, how do you say, random differential equations in that case? Or do you go even...
I think we should be quite modest, even with neural network. Usually, we always make some assumptions. We always have some we are always model dependent in some sense. Whatever the algorithm is, usually the classical assumptions that we are using to model a stochastic process is to say that it's a stationary.
Right.
That stationary stochastic process. I think it's already quite a general model.
Okay.
But with this assumption, I think that we can capture it with Kernan methods, but also with deep learning methods should be able to capture this kind of dynamics. And what is quite interesting in this kind of assumption is, okay, it's a little bit model dependent, but the random variable that is hidden behind all the modeling is not a parametric one, so we can capture a lot of dynamic for stochastic process with this approach. It's not something that I can capture everything, but okay, it's quite, we can capture a quite broad class of stochastic processes.
Mm-hmm. And right. And then I saw you actually have a work on, now I cannot find it, about bubble formation, crash detection, something like that.
Yes, wait, the old work.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, the old work, but...
But yeah. My question is, I guess that the bubble is highly non-stationary. So how can you treat, how can you relate the two things?
So usually when we speak about bubble formation, we are more speaking about Erding phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
This is the classical way of to my knowledge, I only read bubble crash formation of or bubble formation in market under the Erding let's say under Erding hypothesis like Sornet mm-hmm. I think is the most famous the work where you are talking about I was more interested in applying shock formation. I'm more familiar with hyperbolic and shock formation. So I wanted to, in this work, to try to have a model that is a hyperbolic, creating naturally some kind of wave shock.
Okay.
Phenomenon with a lot of diffusion, the diffusion corresponding to market randomness. So it was an attempt to link Hamiltonian system and an hyperbolic system and shock formation to the market. So it's more a mechanic, uh-huh. almost mechanic a way of describing.
Right.
Shocking.
Okay.
It's quite atypical to my knowledge.
Yeah, the relation with Sornet's viewpoint is that they're both some kind of econophysics. So I don't know, there's some first principle thinking, but then he's more focused on herd behavior, which is a finite time explosion.
Sornet was more interested in Erding phenomena and interaction between homogeneous population of economical agents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to investigate really a mechanical mm-hmm. effect.
So these
are quite different perspectives.
Uh-huh. And
But I never pushed the analysis too far. But I'm
now curious because I'm building on the log period, LPPLS, how's it called, the model by Sornet. So I was curious to understand. My first thought working into that was, of course, not all crashes are related to herd behavior. So there has to be some kind of modeling of crashes that assume something different. So that's why I'm interested in something like that.
I think that both vision probably can be merged together. I think.
Right.
Erding phenomena can probably be modeled with hyperbolic equation.
Okay. Definitely something to look into. Thank you. Could I ask you maybe an introduction about your library? You mentioned it, the library you have using kernel methods, CodePy. I hope the pronunciation is correct.
Yes, CodePy. CodePy is CodePy is based on a kernel approach of machine learning. Indeed, code means curse of dimensionality. Mm-hmm. So this live I'm using I developed and use I'm using for professional purpose functional representation using kernel since maybe 15 years. And I designed it primarily for my needs in numerical simulation, partial differential equation. It means mesh-free method, because I was and I'm still interested in high-dimensional evolutionary problems driven by partial differential equation. And CotPi is simply the functional analysis modulus that I'm using. And since I'm using also for machine learning, so we decided to put the core library of functional representation as an open source. Open source, just to say, okay, because we think that that this approach is very efficient, very competitive also, and so we would like just to share and to and to say, okay, you should try, it works.
I already started. Yes, the listeners should as well, definitely. Maybe one last question, because I see we're running a bit out of time. You mentioned now partial differential equation, and before we were talking about stochastic dynamics. And I saw in your work, sometimes you mentioned this really fascinating relation between stochastic differential equation and partial ones, the Feynman-Kac formula that I had heard but never quite understood, not even now. But can you explain?
Yes, you can understand this Feynman-Kac theorem. It's a very simple theorem. It just tells you that if you have a stochastic process, and so with the stochastic process, you want to compute expectation. It's the most natural tool that you want to use. And the Feynman-Kac theorem tells you that that you can either use stochastic argument or partial differential argument, and they are exactly the same thing. So the Feynman-Kac theorem tells you that that an expectation can be computed using a system of quite simple partial differential equation. So it's right.
And this is related, correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw in some of your works, you mentioned both the Fokker-Planck equation and then the adjoint, the Kolmogorov equation. And
yes,
and then you get into the Black-Scholes formula, which is a partial differential equation. So I was thinking that relation is the same as the Feynman-Kac.
Yes, it's all these results. For instance, if you consider the Fokker-Planck, so Fokker-Planck equation are if you consider classical Brownian motion for a stochastic process, then you have also this dual vision. You can think in terms of stochastic differential equation. But you can also write a Fokker-Planck equation that is a true partial differential equation. These two are the same. So you can solve the one or the other. It's exactly the same. Right. If you try to compute functional, like expectation like expectation of a payoff, for instance, in finance, then you want to solve what is called the Black-Scholes equation. Or the Black-Scholes equation is just the Fokker-Planck equation, but the dual version. So in backward time. So it's very similar to the first one, but in reverse time. And the dual of the Fokker-Planck equation is called, historically, it's a Kolmogorov equation. And the Kolmogorov equation, when you write it for financial problem, is a Black and Scholes equation. The same. Black and Scholes is the Black and Scholes partial differential equation is a Kolmogorov equation.
Okay.
So that's the only difference being that Black and Scholes developed their approach a little bit with a more operational point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But they led to the same equation.
Right. I see.
And so when you are considering financial problems, then you solve from a partial differential equation point of view, you solve Fokker-Planck equation for diffusion, mm-hmm. and then the backward process is back and forth Kolmogorov. So
right.
These are very handy tools
right.
for while dealing with financial problem viewed from the partial differential equation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So and let's say CodePy interfaces with this high dimensional partial view of the dynamics, which can then be transformed into the stochastics.
Yes, CodePy is. CodePy is just the modulus of a bigger library dedicated to financial mathematics that is a function representation. So when you have a function representation, so you can, with kernel methods, you can very easily take any derivatives or SN or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And with these tools, you just solve a Fokker-Planck equation or a Kolmogorov one quite easily using numerical simulation analysis, and the basic tools is what was called and what is called mesh-free methods.
Mm-hmm.
The mesh-free methods is the mesh-free representation of function are kernels. So all these are quite, it's a quite coherent framework
right.
of numerical simulation.
Right, and so it's applicable, for example, when I hear mesh, I think about fluid dynamics. It's applicable also for those kind of partial differential equations.
If you talk about the mesh-free method, to my knowledge, from a historical point of view, these are SPH method, smooth particle hydrodynamic. These are numerical method coming back to the 90s, maybe.
Okay.
So I don't have a very deep historical background of, but they, and if you consider this method from a numerical point of view, it's a very striking fact that smooth particle hydrodynamic, the historical vision, is a pure kernel method. And we did some experiments using this library for simulating Navier-Stokes equation. Uh-huh. So indeed, CodePy today is a basic tool for us to tackle numerical simulation in the lab. We can go from Navier-Stokes to Kolmogorov to Fokker-Planck to this explains a little bit why we propose today to share this library open source because we can use for machine learning, for statistical inference, for numerical simulation. It's a Swiss knife that is very handy in a lot of situations.
Uh-huh.
And to my knowledge, I don't know an open kernel library today. So
right, yeah. In Python, I have some experience, really small, with sklearn, but they don't have many things. I mean, as soon as you dig into one method, there's already many assumptions.
Yes, and what is more interesting now is that if you go to TensorFlow TNO, you will see that more and more they are integrating pure kernel methods.
Okay.
And it's quite true. I think that Google, Meta, and all this are starting to recognize that kernel methods are quite efficient in a lot of situations.
So do you see code by...
Also the measures are shifting toward kernel methods.
Right. So do you see code by integrated in TensorFlow one day, or at least...
No, my goal is that they change a little bit their trajectory from neural networks to kernel methods, and I think they are starting to do it, and we are fighting a lot to that aim. And CodePy is also a weapon for us to enforce them to integrate
right
tools into their libraries.
Great, yeah. Yeah, I have a final question that popped to my mind now. When you mentioned about the applicability of fluid dynamics and stochastic inference, I thought about the works of Mandelbrot, and I think he was one of the first to do this parallel between fluid dynamics and financial markets. Do you think is there something about being French?
And
I don't know, but I'm serious. Also, I mean, there's a really strong French intellectual community, which is quite different to the Anglo-speaking one. How do you say? Which I see really as underrepresented at high levels, but really important. So I don't know if from the inside it's the same.
Yes. I don't. Well, maybe it's a French cultural aspect. I don't think so. But it's true that it's quite interesting to analyze market effects from a more mechanical phenomenon. It's also quite fascinating field of research.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. I guess this was my last question.